I said, is anybody excited to be in God's house today? Well, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Pastor Dax, and it is just an honor to be with you. This place means a lot to me. There's a lot of people here that mean a lot to me. I get to worship with my family today, so that makes me always excited. I preach better when my family is here. Come on, somebody. Always a good thing. And man, this church is just, over the years, it's been a friend. It's just been a great place. And anytime I'm in a place that loves God and loves people and just wants to take Jesus to the world, I got to tell y'all, that gets me pretty fired up in this house. Your pastor, Pastor Sam, he doesn't like it, but here's what I can tell you. I know a lot of pastors. This guy has one of the biggest hearts for people. He's one of the hardest workers that you will ever meet. Can we honor him and Laura today? Love you guys. Now, what I didn't understand is, if you've ever heard me speak before, I'm a mover, all right? I can't stand in one spot. I got to move. So when I showed up today and half of my stage is taken up, I didn't know if there's somebody sitting over there that lobbied for that. But, man, we will navigate the storm, and we will get around it. Also, in the first service, I could tell that some people didn't really know how to respond. Some kind of clapped, and I got some amens. But let me just be really clear on how this works. This is a dialogue, not a monologue. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. So it is okay for you to say amen. Let's practice. Everybody say amen. Amen. It is okay to clap when God moves on your life. So you can clap. And if you're real feeling spunky today, you could say preach it. Let me hear you say, preach it. Preach it. All right, it's going to be a good day in God's house. You know, as I was thinking and praying over what God wanted me to speak today, I went for a jog because I love to run when I talk to God. In fact, let's just break the ice. How many runners do I have in the house? You like to run. Raise your hand high. Do I have any runners in the house? Awesome. More than the first service. How many of y'all just hate to run? Come on. The only running you do is to the fridge, the bathroom, and in your dreams. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all know somebody in your life that they need to do some running? Don't point. Just put a hand up. They need to do some running. Well, it's funny because I am a runner. In fact, my parents, they shared something with me that I haven't really told too many people, but this message kind of brought it to light. Normally, the stages of being a baby is you're born, you lay, you cry, you roll, you sit up, you stand up, you walk, and you run, right? I mean, anybody's have a kid, that's kind of it. But what happened for me, my mom shared with me, the first time I stood up, I ran before I walked. So I am a jacked up individual, and if you haven't met me, it won't take long to figure that out. I know that I'm weird, but I love Jesus, amen? And the thing I like about running, though, church, is that it can keep you in shape. It can make you healthy. But the one thing about running that I really like a lot is it keeps you moving forward. Everybody say moving forward. It keeps you moving forward because guess what? If you're not moving forward, then a lot of times you can be stuck in a rut. A lot of times you can just be stagnant. You can be even moving backwards or just moving side to side. But if you're not moving forward, you're usually not moving where you need to be, especially when it comes to what God has in store for your lives. And this is something that I want you to know today as we go into this message. I believe with all my heart that if you're here today, God wants you moving forward in a relationship with him. It doesn't matter whether you're just trying to find out who God is. If you've never accepted Jesus, maybe this is your first time. If it is, welcome. I'm sorry you're going to have to deal with a loud preacher today, but Pastor Sam will be back, and I yell a little bit because, man, I get excited when it comes to the Lord. But whether you've come here for the first time or you've been coming for a while, I believe with all my heart, God wants to move you forward in a relationship with him today. I think that's so important that we understand that. I'm excited to be a part of this series, Standing Strong, that we're in, equipping ourselves for life's battles. And we're looking at a passage of scripture that's found in Ephesians chapter 6. And what God is doing, because it says life's battles, and if you've read this chapter and you've been in for the last couple weeks, God is communicating to us the way that we should dress, what we need to put on, what we need to think about and be attentive to as we get up and battle every single day. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you're going to battle and have a fight on your hands every day that you wake up, every day. And Paul tells us that we're to put on the full armor of God. Everybody say full armor. And he tells us that because we need it. We need to dress. If you tried to go to work buck naked tomorrow, that ain't going to work. You will get arrested at some point in time. You got to get dressed. And God is saying, look, you need to put on this armor. And he tells us why we need it in Ephesians 6:12. The Bible says, for our struggles, they're not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other. It's not against the principal at your school. It's not against your boss. It's not against your wife or your kids. No, our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let me give y'all a news flash. There's a very real devil, and he wants to kill you. Welcome to church. He wants to kill you. He wants to wipe you out. He wants to capture your mind. He wants to destroy your family. He's not a respecter of persons. He wants to destroy and poison the children. Jesus said he's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything that matters to God. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about an important part of the armor today. I would argue it may even be one of the most important pieces. It's found in Ephesians 6:15. I'll read it quickly. You don't have to go there. We'll put it on the screen. The Bible says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. With your feet fitted. Everybody say feet. Everybody say readiness. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I get the privilege of speaking to you today about what I've titled this message. Why are feet important? Why are feet important? Now, when you hear the word feet, come on. Feet can be funky. Anybody know somebody that's got some jacked up feet? Come on, by a show of hands. Don't point, just if you... Is there anybody brave enough to admit that you've got some jacked up feet? Come on, you know that third toe ain't supposed to be that long. But even though feet can be ugly, even though they can be very stinky and smelly, not pleasant to look at, I believe they're an important part. Maybe even one of the most important parts, the weapons that God gives us to battle with. So as we go into this message today, here's what I want you to consider in your life, okay? Because it's very easy to hear a message and say, man, I wish so-and-so was here. Man, they really need to hear this. Or my spouse, I hope she's listening. Or is my sister listening? Is my brother? Is that kid over there? But no, no, no. Here's what I want you to do for the next few minutes. Will you consider for your life, not anybody else, will you consider what you are standing on, what your foundation is, and what you're moving towards. What you're standing on and what you're moving towards. But before, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, I just come to you and I just thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I know that when it goes out, it's going to be something powerful beyond what we can imagine. Because in your word, it says that when your word goes out, it will not return to you void. I believe today that chains are going to break. I believe that there were people that walked in here that did not know how dangerous and powerful they are to the devil and to the enemy, and they're going to walk out of here different people in Jesus' mighty name. God, just speak to us. Just teach us, guide us, correct us, and even, God, convict us. Convict us so that we can hear your word. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up to the book of Jonah? Maybe at some point in time when you were a kid or recently, you've heard of Jonah. They call it Jonah and the whale. I know that's what we saw as kids, but if we got to be correct in the Bible, it doesn't say that it was a whale. It just says it was a fish. I mean, it could have been a whale. It could have been a big largemouth bass. I have no idea. But we know that it was a fish. And if you haven't read the story, it's okay because we're going to catch you up. You will know the story about Jonah and the fish by the time we leave here today. But Jonah chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And if you're ready to hear from God today, can I have a good amen? The Bible says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Everybody say, get up and go. Get up and go, Jonah. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. So right away, we're starting off on a good note as we look at this story. Because Jonah, he hears from God. And God talks to him and gives him a message. How many of y'all think that it's a good thing when God speaks to you and you can hear him? How many people? Show of hands. The others, you don't? I mean, how many people think it's good that God speaks to you? And here's the question that I want you to think about. Why are you here today? Did you come to hear from God? That's the question I have for you. Did you come to hear from God? I think that's such an important thing to think about, because why else would we come into the house of God if we don't want to hear from God? And I can remember being at that place in my life where I had questions about who God is, and is God really who he says he is, and maybe you're like that a little bit. I know still I have questions about what God is doing in my life. I don't know if you've been there. Is God really with me? Is he really for me? I can't believe all this is happening. But when you look around the world, I think at some point in time you've even thought to yourself, did everything come from nothing or did everything come from something? I mean, that has to be on your mind. And if you're on the camp and if you're on the side of I believe everything came from something, then you may say today that you believe there's a God, that you believe that Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I know that's what this church believes. I can tell you I believe it. I believe that God created anything and everything, and the only thing that you have is because he allows you to have it. It's from him. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here's what's cool, is if you believe in God, God doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't leave us hanging. He actually leaves us with instructions and words from him on how we're supposed to live our life. Every question that you'll ever have in your life, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. If you've ever heard that song before. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. But this is cool. It's living and it's active, man. This is just not a cool history book. This thing will bring power to your life. It's the word of God, and he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us. He tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, God speaks, and if you believe him, and there is a God, he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's what God says, that every word in the Bible is from him. It's your own personal text message from God. So that the servant of God, that's you and me, so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, you're not here randomly. God created you, and there's a purpose for your life. He didn't have a meeting with Jesus and say, look, man, Susie was born, and I don't know what we're going to do with her. No, like, he knew the plans for your life before you were even born. The Bible tells us how to have an eternal relationship with him. So, what are you standing for in your life, and what is it that you're moving towards? Jonah hears from God. God calls Jonah to get up, to stand, and to go. And I believe this is such a critical part of the story, because here's the truth. You can't move in your life in the direction that God wants you to move until you stand and are ready to go where God wants you to go. You can't move where God wants you to move until you stand up and are ready to go where God wants you to go. And see, many of us, we want direction for our life. We want to have a Jonah moment where we hear from God. We want to know, is there a purpose for my life? Is there a plan for my life? I mean, I would say that if we sat down one-on-one and had a cup of coffee, every one of you would want to hear from God, amen? But here's the deal. If you want to hear from God, you've got to get near to God. Let me say that again. I think I got some sleepers. If you want to hear from God, then you've got to get near to God. So here's the first point that I have today, and this is my prayer for you. I've prayed it all week, every single day, many times a day. Number one, stand up and decide how you're going to live your life. Stand up and decide who you're going to live for, because time is so short. If you're a parent and you've got kids, you have got to be freaking out if they've only been alive for a few short years. It's like my kids were like these little tiny bundles of nothing, and they were babies, and now my son is driving a car. It freaks you out. The Bible says your life is but a vapor. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. There is not a lot of time. And the most important decision that you're ever going to make in your life is whether or not you're going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the most important decision, who you're going to stand for and what you're going to stand on. And when you don't make a decision, church, no decision is a decision. And when you don't make a decision, then what you do is you open yourself up so that you will try to find happiness and satisfaction in everything else that the world says is going to make you happy. We try to find it in money. We try to find it in cars. We try to find it in clothes. We try to find it in possessions. We try to find it in Instagram likes. Do they like me? Don't they like me? Do they like what I had to say? We try to find it in everything, in popularity, in junk, in jobs. I mean, we put our stock in so many other things that let us down over and over and over again. I'm a big OHIO guy. There's no doubt about that. I love the Buckeyes, but man, they ain't going to come see me in the hospital, y'all. They're not going to be there when my wife and I aren't getting along for me. We put so much weight. There are people that go to war when the Buckeyes lose. But the one who spread his arms and says, look, I love you, and I'll die for you, and I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, man. We can't even come and raise a hand to him. What you stand for will determine your destiny. What you stand for will determine the direction of your life. But here's the cool thing. You're a free moral agent. God's not going to force himself on you. You get to decide. Pastor Sam can't decide for you. I can't decide. Your friends can't decide. You've got to decide. It's your decision. When God calls you, let him know I'll call him back. So Jonah hears from God. Now it's decision time, right? Jonah hears from God. It's decision time. God says, hey, Jonah, get up and go to the great city. I've got a message that needs to go to some people that are struggling with some of the instructions that I've given them. So let's look at how Jonah responds. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. It gets worse. He bought a ticket and went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. How many of y'all think this is a good idea? How many of y'all think this is a good idea? I mean, we look at this story and we would say this is nonsense, right? You heard from God and God gave you direction and you ran the other way. We would look at that and say Jonah is a very unwise person. Is anybody with me? But church, we're sitting here in a service thousands of years later, and we do the exact same thing today. God gives us a manual for how to live our lives. He gives us brothers and sisters to walk with us. He gives us a church that can preach the word and reach people that don't know him. He gives us small group. He gives us his word. We can pray. We can fast. We can seek him. He gives us life. He gives us instruction. He gives us meaning. He gives us purpose. And we run the other way. We run the other way. We run from God and we go to everything else the world says will bring that satisfaction to your life. See, there are some good things in life that I believe you should run from. Listen up, kids. Don't take candy from strangers. Run. Don't get in a crazy car with a guy that looks crazy. Run. If you're an adult here today, run from gossip, man. Run from temptation that might cost you your marriage. Run from that. Run from sin. Run from violent situations. There are things that we should run from, but we should not run from a loving God that wants to love you and bless you. Who knows what he's got for you, the plans and the purposes, he says. See, God blesses us with so many things. And maybe you can relate to running from some of these. We run from relationships. We run looking for relationships from the relationships that God's already blessed us with in our life. We run from our spouses because they just don't listen to me anymore. That person listens to me. We run from our spouses thinking there's better. Man, just spend some time with what God's blessed you with. We run from our kids and pouring into our kids. I'll get to it tomorrow. We run from conflict, thinking that it's just going to go away. We run from opportunities to get help from addiction and from alcohol and from different things in our life. We run from serving. Man, there's kids for VBS that need somebody serving so they can find Jesus, man. We run from giving because we're better money managers than God. You can have it all, God, but not my money, right? We run from witnessing to people at our jobs. We run from witnessing to people in our schools. Listen, man, these people need Jesus, man. What if we stopped running from God and we started running to God? Oh, what would happen in your life? When you were down and you're depressed and you've got this attitude of, God, here I am, send me. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. What if we stopped when we were feeling down and uncertain and fearful and we had questions? Should I date this person? Shouldn't I date this person? What should I do, God? Listen, you run to Jesus and you preach to yourself. Greater is he in me than the one in the world. Run to Jesus, man. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Stop running from God. God has your best interest in mind. Your best interest in mind, not the Yahoo ticker. Jonah makes a poor choice. Some things happen. Then he's thrown overboard and he's swallowed by a fish. Houston, we've got a problem. The dude's in a fish, man. I'm sure that he's feeling lonely. I don't know if the guy gets seasick and he had Dramamine. I have no idea. He's in a fish. I'm sure that it smells, right? I'm sure it's stinky, whatever. Jonah is in a bad situation. And I just wonder who walked in there today that parked out in that parking lot, that you came in and put that face on, but deep down, you're in a bad situation. I wonder who walked in here today that feels hopeless in your life, in your marriage, in your family. I wonder who walked in here today and you're in a bad relationship. You're in an abusive relationship. You're in a relationship that you know God is asking you to go one way and you're going a different way. You're depressed. You're in a prison of anger. You're angry at everybody. You're frustrated with everybody. You're in a prison of unforgiveness. You're in a prison of self-condemnation. Never going to measure up. Never going to be good enough. If anything bad's going to happen, it's going to be to me. You're in a fish. You're in a prison. You're all alone. Jonah chapter 2 verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He prayed. Everybody say prayed. He prayed. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. Check this out. And God answered me. I called you from the land of the dead. The Lord, you heard me. He cried out to God. He cried out to God. Sometimes, church, you got to cry out to God. Sometimes you can't worry about what your neighbor thinks or your husband or your wife thinks or the people sitting next to you think. Sometimes you've got to get a sloppy, snot-filled, tears running down your face on your knees saying, I need you, God. I need you, God. I don't care about all those other things. I need you in my life. That's what Jonah did. I could just imagine him being in that place, trapped and alone. He cried out to God. And that leads me to my second point today. If you're an English teacher, please give me some grace. God is never not with you. Somebody needs to write that down, put it on your phone, and look at it every single day. God is never not with you. God is never not with you. God is never not with you. You may feel alone. You may feel betrayed. You may feel stabbed in the back. You might have come from a divorce situation. You might have been left and you don't even know who your parents are. You might have caused yourself some pain like Jonah. Other people might have caused you pain. Your family, your friends, maybe it's even the devil. Whatever is making you feel alone and trapped inside the belly of a fish, God is never not with you. God is never not with you. That is a good place to say amen. God is never not with you. God is never not with you. God says, I'll never leave you. Listen to these words. I'll never forsake you. Greater is me inside of you than all the devils in the world. That's not good enough. I'll give you something else that might make you say amen. Romans 8:38, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not death, not life, not angel, not demon, no fear for today, nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation, no thing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, man. That's good news. God is never not with you. But yet, you know what? I look around this room. Some of you are having a hard time receiving that today. You know why you're having trouble receiving love? And a foundation that can't be shaken. And someone that'll be with you through hell or high water. Because you've never experienced that in your life. Kids today, it's so sad to see parents that just never tell their kids they love them. Because you know what? That parent never heard that themselves. But let me ask you this question. How could a God that knows every thought that you're ever going to think before you think it, a God that knows every word that you're going to speak before you speak it, that knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, that knows every mistake that you've ever made, that knows every mistake that you're going to make, love you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die a brutal death on a cross for your sins? How could that God not love you? How could that God not love you? Would you think about that this morning? For those of you that feel like you're having a hard time receiving this love and this affirmation that I believe that God wants to speak into your life. Jonah cries out to God. God hears him. And then God tells the fish to spit Jonah out on the beach. I didn't even know that y'all would have all this beach set up here. He spit him out on the beach. Somebody say that's nasty. Can you imagine what came out with all that? And here's where it gets really good. I'm about to get fired up. Jonah chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Everybody say a second time. Is there anybody here today that needs a second time? That needs a second chance? That needs a do-over? Because the Bible said, the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Jonah ran from God. Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah was dirty and disgusting. But God met him where he was at. The Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. He said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given you. It's kind of funny that God went ahead and just gave him the same message that he gave him before. Get up and go. And then verse 3, these first two words could prove to be the most two powerful words that will change the complete trajectory of your life. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord and the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. This time. See, I think that there were people that walked in here today that this is going to be your this time. When God calls you, you're not walking out here the same way that you walked in. Because I believe with everything in me that God can use your prison as a platform to do something great that God's called you to do. You're not washed up. It doesn't matter what your age is. This time, this moment, God is calling you. God is speaking to you. Dads, you still can resurrect that relationship with your kids. You still can have that marriage salvaged. Ladies, it doesn't matter if you've messed up in a certain area. Kids, it doesn't matter how defiant you've been to your parents or to people in authority or what you've gotten into or what you've gotten out of. But God wants to do a work in your life today. Your prison can become your platform for God's greatness. What the devil meant for evil, God says, I can use that to do something good. What you think you messed up, God says, that's a testimony that I can use to save a life that needs Jesus, man. This time, Jonah obeyed. This time, he went to the city that he was supposed to go to. And the Bible says the king told the whole city they needed to pray to God. The whole city needed to fast to God. One man, this time, he obeyed God and the whole city got saved. Can I just say what's in my spirit, church? That this time, this church, Delaware Christian, listen, this city, Delaware, it can be changed. It can be changed for the Lord. It can be changed because Jesus needs to get into our schools. Jesus needs to get into the churches. Jesus needs to get into the businesses. He needs to get into the families. Amen? This time. Because once you make a decision to follow Jesus, then it's all about obedience. Once you decide to follow Jesus, it's all about obedience. And man, that can be difficult. You never know where God is going to take you. You never know what God is going to ask you to do. What is God asking you to do? I can remember when we were in Jacksonville, Florida, and God called two people out of a bar and says, man, go play in a church. I know you don't know what you're doing. I know that you can't preach very well. But man, go play in a church. And we went to a place in Gahanna, Ohio for 4 years and preached Christ. And over 1,600 people gave their life to Jesus. All because of obedience, man. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. It's His message is what changes hearts. What is God asking you to do? Obey. Where is God asking you to go? Obey. What is God asking you to do in your business? Obey. Where is God asking you to serve? I know the kids here are scary, but obey. Where is God asking you to forgive? Who is God asking you to forgive? Obey. And it may not be someone else. Maybe God needs you to forgive yourself. Obey. Obey. What area of your life, maybe you need to close your eyes and let it come to you. What area of your life does God want you to trust Him in that you're not trusting in? You're leaning on your own understanding. Obey. Obey. Jonah was given a second chance because we serve a God of second chances. We serve a God of third chances. We serve a God of 10th chances. We serve a God of 50th chances. We serve a God of 100th chances. We serve a good God. But what is God saying to you? And that leads me to my last point. This is going to bring freedom today if you receive it. God doesn't care. It's not about how you started. It's about how you finish. It's not about how you start. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. And God's never going to take you somewhere that He's not going to bless you. You might not know the answer or see it this side of heaven, but God always has somewhere for you to go. That's why your feet are so important. When we ask that question, why are feet important? Man, because you can stand and you can plant yourself in the Word of God, in a church, in a small group. You can stand and you can be strong when God is the one that your foundational feet are planted in. But then your feet have to go. Church, gosh, I hope you hear me in this. We have got to go reach people for Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're just seeking Him. And if you are, man, I'm so glad that you're here. Because how would you hear about Him if it wasn't preached about? You've got to hear the good news. It doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. Because the devil can't shake the foundation of God. Depression can't shake the foundation of God. Money, everything that the world says will make you happy. Man, it's all about the foundation of God. But we got to go when God calls us to go. The Bible says anybody who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Anybody. Romans 10:14. This is why we use our feet to go. How can they call on the one they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they haven't heard? How can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? You're saved to be sent. You're saved to be sent. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Make that decision today. Whether it's your first decision or whether it's your 100th decision, make the decision on what you're going to stand on and who you're going to stand on, and then go. Because it doesn't matter how you start. Your life is all about how you finish. Will you bow your heads with me, please?